The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 21st of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Aaron. If I can't walk my PM into the party headquarters like top flight security, I don't want to be a Bahamian Green. It's a pleasure to be back in front of the mic this morning. We've got lots to talk about. The newspapers are filled. My list of articles and stories are all election focused. But if there is something pressing of importance that you want to mention on air this morning, you could also join the conversation. The numbers to call, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720 is toll-free. It's always, always wanting to hear from our Family Island residents about what's going on in your neck of the woods. Pun intended. Pun intended, since we soon could be a part of them. Anyway, that's another subject for another time. Remember, we're running the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. Four districts can enter: New Providence, Grand Bahama, San Salvador, or the rest of the Family Islands. Two pieces of information: the government recording record, the government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. Call the show. Let us know you want to play the game. We transfer you to the producer, you give your answers, and you'll be contacted, whether you got the correct answers or not. Also, we run in our T-shirt and magazine recycling drive. And Hasty Times, people, January general meeting is coming up Thursday the 29th of January, 7 p.m., St. John's Auditorium. We are discussing the most recent family reunion details. Okay, it's juju season. It's juju season. If you have a ton of juju, remember, juju is a hybrid apple. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. So you should eat at least one juju a day. Well, what's the equivalent of 10 juju a day for the equivalent of a small apple? If you are overwhelmed by juju, this happens, juju trees produce thousands of jujus, you can process your juju, turn it into juju sauce. And whenever a pastry recipe replaces egg with applesauce, you can replace the egg with your crushed juju sauce, right? If you could make an apple-like sauce from juju, it means you have a source of food viable for your baby and newborns. You're not going to feed them the juju on the seed, right? Of course not. You're going to crush it and make a juju sauce. Now, I get from Cat Island, they get plenty. You know what they do with juju? They cut up the juju, take it out the seed, cut it up some more, and then they prepare a conch salad, but without the conch, and they add juju instead of the conch. It's a wonderful, tangy bite. And if you don't know what we're talking about, the people have been adding apple to tropical salad for years, over a couple decades now, easily. So it's a thing. It's a thing. And if all else fails, turn your juju into wine or rum, or infuse it in some rum and create an exquisite craft product like Seasonal Sunshine Bahamas' world-famous Rum Fingers, perfect for church prayer meeting in Parliament. If you genuflect in the space, you're safe to put it to your face. Have a sip, wet your lip, and lock it. Put it back in your pocket. It's a wonderful mechanism, right? First of all, it's a small model for people who are trying to generate some economic agency, but it's a great tourist product. It's a wonderful tourist product. So consider this year what you're going to do with your 2,789. That's my neighbor has picked up from his tree so far. He counts every day. All right, so we got lots to talk about. I want to invite you all to my, I see the Bristol crew. They have an Academy of Wine and Spirits. I was going to call mine the Academy of Wine and Spirits, but then the licensing officer asked me about Obeah, and I changed it to the Academy of Wine and Rum. Come to my class, Rum Drinking 101. I don't know anything about the quality of the alcohol, but I could tell you how to be drunk with etiquette. So let's get into today's stories. Guardian headline, PLP hopefuls seek nominations. They were all out last night. Sands, Tribune headline, Sands, ZNS chief must resign. ZNS chief must resign. All right, for someone who is experiencing nausea, I say tune your radio to Guardian 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, common sense helps to calm the stomach. Our traditional go-to is ginger ale. If you don't have ginger ale, you have some ginger. Grate some fresh ginger into hot water and let it steep for about 10, 15 minutes, and then slowly sip that. I had wonderful ginger and dandy for calming nausea. And if all else fails, you can put a stop to your gastric system by putting a dash of, I think it's baking soda, a dash of baking soda in water. And sip that slowly until you feel your stomach calm. But other than that, tune into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Calm heads, calmer bellies. That's what Fresh News, Smart Talk all day will do for you. All right, PLP hopefuls seek nominations. Robin Lines, Chris Saunders, and current MPs among those who appeared before committee. Several aspiring candidates appeared before the Progressive Liberal Party's Candidates Committee last night in hopes of securing a nomination from the party. Scores of supporters flooded PLP headquarters on Farrington Road, bringing traffic to a halt to cheer on the aspirants. We're going to go through that article and some other articles from yesterday live on the scene. What is it called? Gambier House. Another article in today's Guardian, uptick in voter registration and transfers, Commissioner says. The Parliamentary Registration Department has seen a significant uptick in vote transfers and registration since the boundaries report was tabled in the House of Assembly. Quote, there's been an uptick at all our satellite stations, close quotes. Registration Supervisor Carolyn Burrow, 5, said yesterday. So we're seeing an influx of people coming in to register and also to transfer and also to verify. That's, reporter, did we need all of that? Quote, so we're seeing, Burrows did not provide a percentage of the increase. See, that's what, you didn't have to repeat the thing in the caption and then the thing that she said and then her quote saying it. Burrows did not provide a percentage of the increase. A percentage of the increase is what should have been posted in that space. Tabled earlier this month, they recommended 2 new seats. Parliamentary Commissioner Harrison Thompson said that officials are working to manage voters coming in who have been affected by the split. Quote, we are trying to monitor that because we're still working on the details, close quotes, Thompson said. Okay, so voters who were affected by the boundaries changes have to come in and identify, right? Identify themselves so they can be told what the new polling station is in the new constituency that they are in. That could be a timely exercise, even if organized properly. Because surely you're going to call people in constituency by constituency, right? So say it was previously registered in this constituency, in this polling division, you are required to come to the registrar's department or just anybody in the constituency, come to the registrar's department so that you can be verified and we confirm your new constituency and polling division. The article goes on. Here we go. Thompson noted that the department is focused on cleaning the register and ensuring that voters who come in are properly verified. To combat registrants who attempt to provide false addresses or register under vacant lots, the commissioner said the department is introducing geospatial technology. The technology will allow for each residence to be identified and pinned to a physical structure. Quote, in the past, incomplete, unclear location information has contributed to inaccuracies within the register, close quote. Thompson explained. The geospatial verification process addresses this issue directly by allowing compliance unit officers to verify the accuracy of residency information through inspection and mapping. The geospatial verification process addresses this issue directly by officers to verify the accuracy of residency information through inspection and mapping. I just want to stick a pin there, right? It is troubling to me, and this is a quote, right? This is a quote from a representative from the office. It's troubling to me how this is framed. Because we had maps before we had the geospatial technology. What exactly is allowing the compliance unit officers to accuracy of residency information through inspection and mapping? They've always, A, been allowed, but B, been able to, had the capacity to, by using hand maps. Right? But also, what you're trying to say is it will improve or enhance efficiency or efficacy, right? Like, that's what we're trying to say, because surely we have been using maps and the inspection process prior to the introduction of this technology. The second point is this. The election is supposed to be called no later than September, time after September, right? Swirling around in the air, maybe an earlier election, don't know if you could call it an early election, maybe an earlier election than expected. Does the Parliamentary Registration Department have the capacity to manage the processes of verification and registration in the changing of boundaries, the implementation of the biometric card, if not the biometric system, the biometric card, incorporating this new technology into the system? Does the Parliamentary Registration Department have the capacity to do that? Now, I'm not questioning the technical expertise within the department. I'm talking about the resources available and the ability to coordinate said resources to meet the timelines required to have an election in this year. Here's a text. What prevents an illegal migrant or a bad actor from pointing at any location and saying, that's where I live? Okay, texter. Nothing prevents an illegal migrant or bad actor from pointing at any location and saying, that's where I live, except the process itself, because an illegal migrant should not be able to get that far in the process. Right? I would appreciate if you would reframe what it is you're trying to say, because the process itself will prevent an illegal migrant or an illegal migrant, right, from entering the wrong information. Now, a bad actor, the saying is, when you give me this address, I'm going to send somebody with actual eyes to that location to verify, right? If there's no structure there, then it's obvious, like, fraud. If there is a structure there, but it does not appear to be a residential structure, then it appears to be fraud. Then we go and we investigate. Is this a business that is like there's a multi-zone and you are allowed to have residence and occupancy in the building, right? If it is a residential structure, it appears to be a residential structure, then you may require some more investigation. Like the person was unable to or did not present a utility bill or a bill or something with their name on it that attaches them to the address, then you investigate further. So what will stop them? Systems and processes will stop them if they are carried out properly. There you go. It said, at least in prior elections, they required proof of address. Now it seems you just have to give an address. It does. Here's my thing. I don't understand why if a person is resident, it's say I'm resident in the home, right? But I'm not the homeowner. I don't pay the bills. But I'm definitely a resident. I occupy, I live here. To remove me from here, you need an eviction notice, right? I live here. Is it the family to produce like a rent, an invoice, a series of invoices for rent, receipts, to say that this person lives here? Does the property owner provide an affidavit to say that this person resides at this residence for the purpose of registering to vote? Because the systems that we employ must take into account the real dynamics of our living situation. Let's go to the phone lines. Very interesting discussion. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. But Ms. Green, you know, I'm living inside the inner city, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a panoramic view of the social BS and the fallouts and whatever's going on in the inner city. Mm-hmm. I don't need no one to tell me anything. Now, here's what I've seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we talk about the homeless and the propensity for fraud. We shouldn't be naive after I said many times on the radio that immigration is ground zero for corruption. I can't take that back, but listen to what I'm saying, Mr. Green. I live in the inner city. I've seen situations like this. There are a lot of homeless people who people take advantage of them. They say, well, you need some place to stay. You could sleep inside my shop, do security at the same time, and then I come and lock you in there, and then I open up the door in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this. This is now on East Street where we have a lot of migrants. I've seen a migrant in the front of a store that I think it used to be a cell phone store, and maybe it still is because I don't even go there, but he's standing in the front there with a suitcase and a bunch of clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I pass, I observe him talking to somebody in the store who apparently can't open the door until the owner come. So what I'm saying is I just wanted to draw mm-hmm. a social dynamic. There's a lot of homeless people sent mm-hmm. to deportations as being going on. I mean, in the city, I know some of them personally. They move around. They have nowhere to live. But we have become disconnected from people, human suffering. There's a lot of people living homelessly. I mean, homeless in every area. They're sleeping in the bathrooms on the park. There's a lot of dark in the park. Especially
yes.
the park facing Super Bowl. There's a lot of darkness going on with young men prostituting themselves. Give thanks and praises.
Absolutely. Listen, the school health report gave us the statistics. Young people who identified themselves as being the victims of exploitation. Young men and the women, young girls being the victims of coerced sexual activity and coerced intimacy, right? The stats are there. The young people are telling us. But 52, you raised such an important point. I mean, I hadn't even thought about it except when we began talking just now. Like you say, you have the panorama, right? You see more. See, because there's the problem. Being unhoused, being homeless, living with housing instability, which means you like transient, you couch surf, you sort of stay with this group for a little while, and then you move to this family homestead, and then you move there, a transient housing situation. None of those situations prevent you from voting. None of them can remove or erase your right to vote, right? None of it. You don't have to have a stable address to vote. The Constitution doesn't say that. So the question is, why aren't our systems accommodating the actual lived experiences of Bahamians? See, when we talked about immigration and people raised the issue of shanty towns, right? And I said, hey, the shanty town issue is not an immigration issue. It's an administrative crisis issue, right? Because the law says that the people who employ migrants must ensure that they have housing that reaches the state standard. That reaches the state standard, right? This is an administrative crisis issue, because if your voter registration process says that you must be resident in one place, right, for a sufficient amount of time, how do you then address, how do you create equity, right, in terms of the right to vote for people who are unhoused, homeless, or in transient housing situations? That circumstance in no way takes away their right to vote, their right to participate in public life or the political sphere. None of it. Okay, we have another text vis-a-vis the process of verification. They are apparently depending on people to be honest and be in fear that someone will investigate their claim at some point in the future. The text says this election is being engineered for widespread fraud. I denounce that text. What I will say is the question remains, is the state addressing what is required to ensure an environment in which fraud is less likely or unlikely to happen? Right? They create the environment. In that environment, their aim is to reduce the likelihood or the chance that it can happen, or that it can happen without recourse or what do you call it? Like interdiction, like you're not aware of it. Again, does the Parliamentary Registration Department have the capacity to engage this new technology and process? Let's prep the next caller, deal with the processes required for the boundary changes and the implementation of the biometric card, even if it's not the biometric system. See, we haven't even had a conversation about the legislation required to collect my biometric data for a biometric card for the purposes of the voter registration. You can't just go to the passport office and collect that data. Because me getting a passport is no indication that I'm going. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm great, thanks. But my understanding from the Parliamentary Registry, the person in charge, Mr. Thompson, to be verified, you got to bring your voter's card and your passport. Okay, that's what they're requesting in order for you to be verified. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. But hold on, don't go.
Go ahead.
Unless you go on. See, this is troubling to me because I don't need a passport to vote. I don't need to travel to vote. I don't have to have a desire to travel to vote.
I guess they're trying to verify your location, and what they're doing is putting your verified location on a GPS so they can, when you go to verify, they can shoot.
Go and follow it up.
Yeah, in real time.
Absolutely. I mean, see, I appreciate those parts. Like, they're trying. I'm not denouncing that. They're trying, but the question is, have they thought it through critically every single step? Because if I had what Bishop Lloyd Boyd was saying about inequality and inequity in our systems, if I had the money, right, to launch a judicial review or to go to the Supreme Court about it, I would go right away and say, hey, there's something wrong here because I don't need a passport to vote.
I understand you.
Thank you. But I want you to know I appreciate the points you're making.
Thank you, Duma.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go to the text line. Someone says, thank you for emphasizing that being homeless doesn't exempt one from voting. Here's another text. Good morning, and I agree with caller 52. Our country is filled with migrants in desperation. There are migrants all on Cowpen and St. Vincent Road. Every every morning moving about all around the area and some bold enough to perch on the corner of Faith Avenue and Cowpen. We have a real problem in this country and need help right now. Our country is open for anything. Okay, so prep the caller, text her. You, the illegal migrants, they don't be on the roadside. They don't want to be where immigration could see them. It's unlikely those people you see perching are out. Now, maybe they are people who were born here and their status is still unclear. Maybe that. We can get back to that text. I can't just put that away. Interesting things you said there, Texter. But let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. I'm listening to your show regarding your passport to vote.
Yes.
And I think the parliamentary secretary, they should not venture into that. My thing is because not everyone is honest. We have a lot of dishonest people around.
Okay. Right?
By using the passport right to vote and also to, you know, some people will try to vote twice. They'll do whatever they can to take the ink off their finger to vote twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a danger zone that we're placing ourselves in.
Oh, so you're telling me that you think that the presentation of the passport is a safeguard and we should keep it?
No, I'm not saying you should keep it.
You said opposite.
You should get away with it.
Okay.
That's the problem. Because using the passport, that's an avenue for many persons to go and try to vote twice.
Okay.
They'll use their voter's card, then they'll go back and use their passport.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your contribution. If staff, officials from the department are listening, then you hear someone saying, hey, this is an avenue I think that people may explore to commit fraud. The officials, I hope they're listening, right? And then they listen, they investigate, they make assessments, and they determine what systems do we need to strengthen to prevent this type of fraud. Thank you very much, caller. Okay, I see you got another caller on the line. Let's prep that caller, producer. A person who is homeless should have a last known address. This is true. Good. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Miss Green, how you do this morning?
Good, thank you. How you do?
This is your uncle.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. I didn't hear you call your name this morning. What name are you using this morning? Because I have a name for you.
Oh, my name was, if I can't walk my PM into the party headquarters like top flight security, then I...
Boy, we almost have the same thing, because I can call you Aaron Keno Wong Green.
That's
this morning.
Look here, I in trouble. You know why?
I
like all the candidates in St. Anne's.
Yeah.
I like all. And the young lady, there's a young lady challenging Keno and Chris Saunders, right? I think it's at least three of them in there challenging. I have nothing against any of them, right?
I think Keno out edging them.
I was about to say...
Somebody told me last night, you know I have an eye impairment problem.
Yeah.
Somebody told me last night that was the most white people they ever see around the PLP quarters at one time.
Ah, boy.
And so that's an indication, that's a sign.
Yeah.
That he's having some traction in Tanant.
Yes.
You know, when you could get people like them out, you must be making some sense with something you're saying.
Yes, and...
And I'm hoping that this be the first election, you don't spurl that ballot. Think about Keno Wong.
Listen, Keno Wong presents a candidate that will cause me to sit down and seriously interrogate what you just said. Seriously think about whether I will not do that this year. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Keno Wong is a former chairman of the National Neighborhood Watch Council.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? He has a significant presence in the community. He has experience with a national organization representing it on the ground and internationally. Mm-hmm. And the community that he lives in is Johnson Terrace is a model. It's a model for other communities in the country.
Do Do you think that's a little that you could consider?
Not spoiling my ballot.
Consider on national radio.
Yeah, I could consider not spoiling my ballot.
Saying that you can. No, don't spoil your ballot.
If
give
I,
me the keynote.
I listen. It's a heavy, heavy race.
I understand.
I don't want Chris Saunders or the young lady. Hold on. I got the Latona McPhee.
Latona.
Yeah, Latona McPhee. She's also.
She had a good showing last night. Also.
That's good.
She had an excellent showing.
That's good. I'm pleased. I'm pleased for her. Because
if we had to number them from last night, it would have to be in Keno, her, and then Chris Saunders.
Yeah.
But what I want to say to Miss Latona McPhee, I kind of know her well.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to say to her, if she gets the nomination, I hope Keno won't support her and they work together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
If Keno won't get the nomination, I hope she works with him as a team.
Mm-hmm. And the same with Chris.
Only one person can run.
Yeah.
So, if you support behind that person, I guarantee you.
Now, Uncle, don't tell the PLP I say in this, right?
Yeah.
But that St. Anne's seat is a seat that the PLP should focus on. In this first iteration, I can say you push hard, but don't be dismayed if you don't win.
Yeah.
Right? That seat is a great seat for candidates and potential aspirants to show what they're worth.
They could do.
Right.
I'd use that seat as a step to get up.
Yes. Not the Senate. That's the space.
Not the Senate.
Because the people in that constituency will understand, right? If you don't win, they understand what the dynamics of the constituency are. But it's the effort that you put in.
But like I want to say it again before I depart,
mm-hmm.
I would like between Keno Wong and Latona McPhee,
mm-hmm.
whichever one of them tomorrow night come out as the victor. Mm-hmm. I'd like for the next person to support them. Do back. Stay together and work as a team.
Now watch this now. However, we got at the risk of the Guardian editor writing a whole editorial on what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. What if Graham Saunders and Adrian White had to go up against each other in St. Anne's constituency?
For the election?
Yeah, see, because people believe that St. Anne's is a safe seat because they believe that St. Anne's is a European descent, a Caucasian descent. They believe that's like
those three names you called us now, Ms. Greer.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what would be the outcome of that.
Uh-huh.
Chris Saunders, Graham Rutherford, and Adrian White.
Yeah.
Graham Rutherford might get 8 votes, 7 votes.
Okay.
Chris Saunders, you'll get some votes. I think you'll be able to get his deposit back.
Okay.
But Adrian White, in that race there, Adrian White will come out victorious. But now, if with a race with Keto Wong or Latona McPhee and Adrian White, I think it might be a little different this time around.
I got you. Okay. I got you. Thank you very much. I got the text here that says, LOL, Unc is hilarious. If Keno Wong were running for the FNM, he would have come up with a different, don't call it a conspiracy theory, something like money buy in the election because all the white people who show. Listen, how unfair is that critique? Second of all, how unsavvy is the critique? Right? We know Uncle, he's a PLP. That's what I like about people, that you declare your bias. That's all. I see Speaker of the House in Bamboo Town, MP Patricia DeVoe, is cheered on by supporters as she leaves last night's meeting. Well, she cleared that one up. It seems she is definitely running, which is interesting because in yesterday's media, we saw this article, Hat in the Ring, Eyewitness News on their Facebook, on their social media account. Former PLP Deputy Chairman Robin Lines says she is now fully prepared to represent the party, noting that her finances are in order and her family is ready for the potential backlash that can come with public office. Lyons said she has deliberately chosen not to submit a bid for any specific constituency, explaining that she wants to avoid division within the party. Instead, she says she is willing to serve wherever the party's candidate selection committee believes she can be most effective. She added that her focus remains on unity and strengthening the Progressive Liberal Party ahead of the next general election. I just find this interesting, right? Like, if we are exploring political culture, that there are aspirants who have not participated in the candidate training module. Like, I'm speculating because I imagine that the writers would have indicated if they did, or maybe they don't because they did. But you have a number of people, and then in the creation of the new seats, we see a story emerge that the party is courting someone to fill the seat. And my question is, was that person required to engage in the candidate training module like other aspirants were? And if they weren't, what is it? Right? Like, what prerequisite did they bring to the table that rendered it unnecessary for them to take the training? But before we go there, I want to read this news story I saw yesterday as well. Headline, Respect, Eyewitness News. 20th of January, Member of Parliament for Marathon, Lisa Ramming, is sending a strong message to women entering the political arena ahead of the next general election, calling for respect and unity among female candidates. Ramming made the comments as she marched to the Progressive Liberal Party headquarters with supporters to appear before the party's candidate selection committee regarding her political future. I wanted to stick a pin here. Produce it to a break. And then when we come back from the break, I want to talk about something troubling that's arising in local politics. Or maybe it's always been there, but it's just rising to the surface now. You're on the clock with If I Can't Walk My Prime Minister Into the Headquarters Like Top Flight Security, What It Makes Sense to Be a Bahamian For? Green. We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns. I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Bahamian voters, listen up. The Parliamentary Registration Department is running voter verification right now. It helps keep the voters' register accurate and secure, so every eligible Bahamian can cast their vote confidently. This is your chance to make sure your information is correct and up to date. Bring your passport and voter's card to your nearest verification center. Voice counts this election. One Bahamas, one vote, verified.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with finance. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. That's Bejarina, no, that's Bush Medicine by Ed Moxie. Bush Medicine by Ed Moxie. You feel the weather out there? It's the time. You got to get yourself some Bejarina. It grow on the shoreline. It look like a succulent. It grow up on the beach. You got to get yourself some. I was going to sing it, but hey, Gary the guitarist, how you doing? Gary the guitarist, tell me, come to his singing classes, please. I thought it was a compliment. Apparently, it was not. It's okay, though, because when I'm ready to sing, I can sing. Okay, I have a text here just before we get back into that subject. It says, Unc saying white people makes the PLP looks good. Any color can be fools or dupes. No, texter. There's a reason why I interrogated Unc with the question, right? Unc is a part of a party machinery. They study how people vote. They study how votes move, right? They study constituency dynamics. There's a reason why I ask him the question. Because he has a degree of expertise that I don't have and many other people don't have. Even though he's just using common language. That Kino Wong can attract the support and the public support, right? Of the people we call white, the white people in the constituency, is an indicator of his grasp, of his stretch, of his ability to engage people. Now, I was throwing out the scenario, what if we are met with Adrian White, Caucasian descent primarily, or maybe entirely. Graham Weatherford, Caucasian descent. And then Chris Saunders. Now, I ain't too sure about Chris Saunders. I see him in this picture. He looked like his hair could have been ginger before it turned white, right? But what do we expect? What would we expect to see if the parties decided to run all white or phenotypically white candidates in a seat that's considered to be a safe seat or an FNM stronghold because, right, what's perceived is because the majority of residents are of Caucasian descent. I think it's a fascinating scenario to interrogate. But see, because that's the thing for me. If everybody is the same race, then race is off the table, right? Or then do we acknowledge that race and class are inextricable? You can't extract them. You can't separate them. That race and class, so that you could be of a particular race, but if you are not of a particular class, you may not be perceived as of that race by everybody. Let's go to the phone line. Here we go. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Erin.
Good morning.
Do you have any idea which numbers shop that they bank out of Bahamas have machines installed in now?
No, I don't.
You need to check that out because I think that's the priority now, and I guess we will never get national lottery because, you know, behemoths like WhatsApp messages came through to me says that the behemoths go from the bank straight to the number house, and if BOB has machines in the number house, then we are gone. I mean, the nation, not me, but the nation has gone on we will gamble and we will never see national lottery.
All right,
that's
so
that's an issue for, you know.
I got you. Two points. Let me put them out here. Two points. The consideration: do we need legislation to ban the implementation of installation of ATMs in web shops, inside web shops, or immediately outside web shops? Would that be a fair interpretation of your concern?
My concern is national lottery.
Okay, pause. So, let me stick A. Let's fail, or is it reasonable, unreasonable for me to say that the advocates, the lobby for national lottery is prejudiced, right? Because the web shops essentially provide the infrastructure for their activity. But a national lottery will require the state to provide the infrastructure for national lottery? Is that fair or reasonable to say?
Whatever's considered, I don't think the individuals should be more powerful than the government and the people when it comes to...
Okay, but pause. Mm-hmm. Good point. You don't think the people should be more powerful than the government, but we've gone far left. You gone far left. You started with the question of somebody's telling you that now there are ATMs in web shops. And I'm going to speculate that when you identified a particular bank, you were making a link between the bank and the government, right? That's where we are. Let's stay there. A solution to that is to
mandate... a government bank.
It's not a government bank, but still. The government has... It's not, apparently it's not even that. But we can talk about that later. Be careful though. But what ain't it? I'm going to suggest that those who are concerned lobby for legislation that restricts the installation of ATMs inside or immediately outside web shops. That's the way that we could deal with it. All right? But the critique of the web shops and the perceived relationship between them and the state, that's another conversation. Now, if we want to talk about the legislation that indicates that you cannot be a cabinet minister if you have a link to the web shops, and if simply divesting your participation in an entity that you may have owned at one point or you may have led at one point is not sufficient to say that you could now qualify to be in the cabinet. See, that's a conversation that emanates from what you're saying, but it's still a separate conversation.
Yeah, but I guess the present government has deified those individuals because of what they call an opinion poll, so the rest of the country has been sent up the stream.
I appreciate your critique. Listen, I got another caller, and I'm all out of time.
Goodbye. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
It's International Hug Day.
It's International Hug Day?
That's my daughter's birthday. That's what it is today, International Hug Day.
Awesome. I'm glad you stayed on the line. Producer, can we give this caller 30 seconds, next caller? All right. Caller, you got 30 seconds. All us could get cut.
Okay, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
The gentleman gave you some misinformation just now.
Okay.
Because even with the ATM in the web shops, you could only withdraw per day $500. But you could also, if you win something, go directly to the cashier.
And deposit it.
Yeah, no, and get it to be withdrawn. Okay? So the number houses only make it easier or more available for persons who want to be private if they win something to go to the ATM and withdraw their money without going to the cash. So that's all it is.
All right. Thank you. Listen, we're all out of time. We can talk about all of that tomorrow. You could hear the music is playing. But before we go, listen, this is Monday to January 26th. It's the last day. Okay. Listen, y'all know about the Edmund Moxie Community Center Lunch and Learn. Anyway, this week, Awareness Week, Lunch and Learn Monday, Food Folks and Fun Tuesday, that's the 27th. Lunch and Learn Monday is the 26th. Chefing It Up is Wednesday, the 28th of January. Culture Vibes is January the 29th. Ministry of National Security. And listen, I'm reading this because these people don't know I was playing Edmund Moxie. Stay tuned because C.A. Newry's show is going to be exciting. Stay tuned, Bahamians. Oh, register to vote. So like me, you could try grab up your Prime Minister hand and walk him into the headquarters. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.